I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out of bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad tape, bad lock, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Appalachia right across the river and through the woods on a pain-free Friday where Granny came by and stole my hybrid true OG today when she was picking up a bottle of vino to drink tonight in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do better. I'm up in the come around, flats and flats and party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my rain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do better, shake it. Ooh, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with Mafia tonight, and right now, with 2.5 left in the half, the Lakers by 9 with The Rock, and the lead over the Heat in Game 2 of the NBA Finals as Pope hits a 3, and the lead goes to 12 with the Heat trailing again, just like they did in Game 1, and Butler gets a bucket inside, and a 10-point game now with 2 minutes left, so at this point, it's been all Lakers pretty much from the jump. And in terms of scoring in this thing, AD's got 12 and 4. LeBron's got 12, 4, and 6. Kuzma has 8. Caruso, 6. Rondo, 5. Morris, 3. Pope, 6. Green, 3. Dwight Howard, 6 and 2 boards. And for the Heat, the leading scorer is Butler with 11, and Crowder's got 9, a few with 7. Hero, Olynyk, and none, all with 7. So, hey, the Heat at least showed up. They're down 12 now, but they've been in this game. They've stayed around. They've hung around with all their star players out. No Dragic, no Bam, no Dice. Well, they're still alive. We'll see what happens the rest of the way on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so the Cardinals are going to get eliminated. They're down to four outs. They're down 3-0 to the Padres, and they'll go to the bottom of the eighth pretty much after another out. And it was really Hosmer drove in the first run, and that made it one zip with Tatis scoring after he got to second. And then you had Machado ground into a fielder's choice to third. Cronenworth scored. Tatis to second. Grisham save at third on a fielding error by Edmund. And then Hosmer walked. Grisham scored with the bases loaded. Three zip Padres. And I was going to look at the job that Flaherty did. He pitched six innings, one earned run, two walks, eight strikeouts. I thought he pitched pretty well. Reyes gave up two runs, and he walked two and struck out one. And the bottom line is that the Padres instead started Stammen, and then they, at the end of the day, they used a bunch of different pitchers to make this work. Listen to this. Hill, Johnson. They went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. They used everybody. Adams, Pagan, Pomerantz, they've all pitched. And so, I mean, Josh Tingler doing a great job of manipulating all their pitchers into the big game. And all I know is they're going to win. The Cardinals have done nothing all night. They haven't gotten guys on base. I mean, for the most part, they've done very little in terms of threatening at all, right? Like, I don't think they've done anything. They've had four hits the whole game, and they had a couple of errors. So San Diego kicked their ass last night with all their home runs, the two home runs each from Myers and Tatis last night to win that game 11-9. And then tonight, they scraped together three runs and then used a bunch of pitchers, and the Cardinals couldn't hit. I thought Flaherty did a great job for St. Louis, but Mavia said to me earlier, good. He's glad. Let some fresh blood in there. They've done enough damage over the years. So they certainly have won a lot of championships. I thought the way they win in the playoffs, the way they always seem to find their way to the LCS and World Series, is the most amazing thing ever in history, but not this time. And now we're going to get what we want, and that's Padres-Dodgers. So I think that's going to be fantastic. And the Marlins are going to face the Braves in the other DS because the Marlins swept the Cubs. And that is a story in itself. I cannot believe that 17 years ago, they beat the Cubs at Wrigley Field to go to the World Series and then beat the Yankees in six and beat them in the Bronx with Beckett and won the World Championship. Do you know that they have been in 97 and 2003, both times they won the World Series, and then they won again this year against the Cubs? They've never lost a series in the postseason, the Marlins. That's crazy. And this team, what they call them, bottom feeders, that they were the worst team in the playoffs. Some people didn't think they deserved to be there. People made fun of them. They said they're going to get whacked by the Cubs. And then they kicked the Cubs' ass. And they did it with pitching. I mean, Sixto Sanchez today was throwing 100 miles an hour for like six innings, and they just couldn't hit him. And all the big guns, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, all of them 0-for. They couldn't do anything. They had the donut out. And in the end, the Marlins swept them, and they move on to face the Braves. How crazy is that, Mafia, that the Marlins did it again to the Cubs? And there were some plays in it that were eerily similar. Like there was a ball hit over to the exact spot where, like, Bartman, remember, there was a point in the game today where a ball ended up right over there in that section where that whole incident happened in 2003 with Alou and Bartman. And it happened again today, but not the same thing. There were no fans there, but a ball was hit right there, and they couldn't make a play on it. So it was almost like a ghost or something was there. It was crazy. But the Marlins did it. They beat the Cubs, and they did it with pitching and a bunch of no-names. But Corey Dickerson hit the home run yesterday, and they got Aguilar hitting the bomb as well. And they put up five runs 2 days ago, and then there was a rain out, and then they played today, and then they did it again. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I thought that was beautiful today when we were on Coast to Coast and the Cubs beat them.
Yeah, it was awesome because, you know, another situation where I know the Cubs had, 100-plus years of losing, but the last couple of years they've been good, and I think people who are fans of them have kind of gotten that same cockiness that you could get in Boston. And once they started winning, then all of a sudden people expect things. You know, for 100-plus years you'll lose, and all of a sudden you get a couple of good years, you get a World Series, and all of a sudden people feel like they're owed things, that the Cubs should just be good every year. So I like that, they came in here, and after they got rid of Madden, who I thought was a scapegoat for no good reason, they bring in, the new manager. They have pretty much the same roster, and it fails again to show that it wasn't on Joe Madden. It wasn't his fault. It was the players, and they let him down again. And Miami's got a nice story going where they had a season that practically was canceled because of them just being stupid and not being safe enough with the COVID. They end up coming back with all those games, somehow win enough to get in the playoffs because of this new system that we had in here this year, and they make the most of it, knock out the big bad Cubs, and they move on.
So there you go. And now who do you like in their series with the Braves? The Braves certainly played a lot better against the Reds than Cincinnati. And they got big hits, and all their star players, Freeman and Acuna, they all pretty much came through for them. And they got good pitching from Fried and Anderson and Melanson and company. Their bullpen did a good job. Do you think the Braves will fare better against the Marlins than the Cubs did?
I think they will, especially because of the longer series, a couple of games longer here, they get a little more breathing room. I didn't like the Braves coming into the playoffs because they perennially choke. They flop all the time in the playoffs. We saw it last year again. 3 years in a row, they've won the division. They've gotten nowhere for it. So I was kind of down on them coming in, but all their bats have, come through here. They've gotten the timely hits when they need them, and the pitching stepped up. That's the big thing, is that they got the combination going of the two. The Marlins had great pitching shutting down the Cubs, but, they got out, enough runs, but it wasn't like they were blowing them out of war. They had a good first game with the five runs. They got a, good game today. But I think Atlanta's got both facets going a lot more smoothly right now than Florida. And when you get into those extra two games now, that's a possibility. Florida's going to have to go deeper into that pitching staff, which a lot of no names as it is. I think that's going to hurt them.
And then with the Padres, they're going to advance, and they're going to face the Dodgers. How do you think San Diego will do against L.A.?
That's a tough one because L.A. is just so loaded. Everyone loves the San Diego story. It's great to see them back in there. Long time since they've been good. All the money that they spent finally coming to fruition here. But it's just hard to play against that L.A. roster. All the money that they spent to get these big bats, it's one thing. L.A. spends that money every year. And they have a giant payroll every year. They've been around every year. They've been, to the World Series the last couple of years. So they have the postseason experience, while a lot of these guys on San Diego don't. So it's worked out well from this series. I think next series we got to face, Kershaw. You got to face these other, pitchers mowing you down. You got to face those big bats. Nine guys up on the roster. It's not just one or two, three big bats. It's the whole roster, especially with the DH. So I think that's going to be tougher for San Diego to go through.
Well, I know this. The Dodgers have all the experience in the world of losing. So they go and lose is what they do. You can talk all they want about how they've been there and done that. They've never done anything except lose. So it's been a nightmare for them in the World Series. So look, the Padres have star players now that get it done. Tatis, Machado, Myers, Hosmer, and it doesn't end there. They have been raking all season. They're the best team in baseball after the seventh inning. They're the number one team in comeback wins in baseball. They got a lot going for them. And if they get Clevinger back, if they get Lamet back, if those guys are able to pitch, because you hear people talking about them throwing a lot now, they held them out of this series. They're going to win this series. I'm telling you, if those guys come back, I think it changes everything, and it makes that series very interesting. George Kurtz will join us next on the bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you on a pain-free Friday. George Kurtz of In-Game Live on Sports Grid joins us. How you doing, George?
Doing well, Scott. How about you on this lovely Friday night?
I'm hanging in, buddy. So I was watching the Cardinal-Padre game tonight. I watched that game last night. It was pretty wild. I'm sure you saw it with Tatis and Myers hitting those two run, home runs each. The three-run shot by Tatis and then an opposite field shot. Myers hit the shot down the left field line. Then he hit the shot to dead center. And then now they're up 4-0. This game's over. They're going to meet the Dodgers. I thought Flaherty pitched well, and I just thought the funny thing about that Cardinal team to me, George, is that unlike all the others that have gone to the LCS and World Series over the years, they just had literally, in my view, no one in that lineup that anybody's afraid of. Like, I'm not even afraid of Goldschmidt. I mean, he's good, but he's not like, you don't fear him.
Oh, no, you're right. There's no Aaron Judge in this lineup. There's no, certainly no Mookie Betts, anyone like that. Goldschmidt is their best hitter, but you're right. He's not the player he used to be. You know, 3-4 years ago with Arizona, he's not that guy. Maybe Dylan Carlson in time becomes that guy. He is their top prospect. They haven't batting cleanup in the playoffs. He had a so-so regular season when he was called up, played much better in the playoffs. But they don't have that guy. They're missing that guy. But I think you have to be extremely impressed with San Diego. I mean, you lose game one. You lose Clevinger and Lamet before the series starts where they can't pitch. You're going with a pitching by committee here. This game to 9 pitchers. 9 pitchers in this game so far. And they're going to win. They're going to come back and win this series. And let's face it, unless you're a Cardinals fan, we want to see the Padres, right? They're fun. Tatis, great player. One of the best in the game now. Machado's fun. They're playing well. I think we all want to see the Padres advance to play with Dodgers.
Yeah, I actually, I thought, you know, seeing Tatis come through last night when they were losing that game, they were down 4-0. And to see him hit that 3-run bomb, it just kind of woke them up from the dead, right? But when I look at that lineup that I was talking about with the Cardinals, I just want to pull it up again. I have to see it to believe it. So when you were talking about Carlson, and you know, I agree, they had him batting cleanup and everything, but in the playoffs, he's hitting 200. And I thought like his at bats tonight were just terrible. Like he took 2 strikes and then there was a ball and then he struck out in one of his at bats. It took 4 pitches and they were talking about how he's a cerebral hitter. Like he thinks too much and he's analyzing every, like what does that I don't even know what that is. Like, I have no idea what they were saying, that he's cerebral. How about he's just standing there with his bat on his shoulder and doing nothing? How does that sound? So he may be the future, but he sure isn't the present. Because when he was up, you know, last night and tonight, he was terrible.
Yeah, I saw that at bat you're talking about there, where he took he took the good pitches for strikes, and then he swung at the bad pitch and struck
out there. Right.
I mean, listen, they're asking too much of him anyway, right? I mean, their big bat right now seems to be Molina, right? He's the big guy. Whatever he's doing here, he almost hit a home run early in the game. He went to the center field wall there, but there's no, as you keep intimating, and you're 100% correct. There's no one here you're afraid of. Who are you afraid of in this lineup? Oh God, we don't want to pitch to this guy with the game on the line.
No one.
I guess it would be Goldschmidt, but no one's afraid of him. He's not that guy that's going to come up with a big hit. They've got some work to do here. I mean, I'm going to lose money on this game because I did bet on Flaherty. Flaherty pitched well, one run in six innings. They didn't score for him. I just thought, once again, San Diego is going to go with the old bullpen by committee here, and everyone's going to pitch. I thought the Cardinals have a better chance of winning here. Not going to happen, as we are now, one out away from Dodgers-Padres, and we will literally have a division series. All four series are within their division.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, because I agree with you. I was on Flaherty, too. And I was on Cardinals history. They never lose in the playoffs. They win even with average teams. And they get to the LCS and World Series. They got a lot of championships and a lot of banners and flags hanging in their stadium and a lot of people wearing rings that played for that organization. The luck that they get is unbelievable to me. They're constantly in the playoffs every year. Even this team shouldn't even be in the playoffs. They were another one that got lucky in the end because they had all those doubleheaders and they had their backs against the wall. They had whatever you want to call it, cliche city. They really were average at best the entire 2 months. They had the COVID. They had all the problems. And then somehow they get in. But they did not they should have closed the door yesterday. You're up 4-0, and then they gave up all those home runs. It was unbelievable. But I have to tell you that you know, when you look at, we were talking before, George, about the Padres, right? They're going to play the Dodgers. And Mafia said, well, the Dodgers are 1 through 9 stars, and their pitching and their experience is unequaled. And I said, well, you're right about that, but their experience is nothing but losing. They get to the World Series and lose. So they're like the Lightning. They need to break through. Carver High said it today on Coast to Coast. The thing that I'm saying is that the Padres now finally have stars. They have Tatis. They have Machado. They have Hosmer. They have Myers. They have Rosenthal. They have pitchers that are, you know, Paddock didn't pitch well, but he's still their ace. And if they get Lamet and Clevinger back, those guys are star pitchers now. And they have everything. That team has everything now. And I can't wait to see them take on the Dodgers with all their expectations and guarantees they're going to win. They haven't won it since 1988.
Yeah, that's too long for the Dodgers. That shouldn't happen. I agree. The Dodgers have generally underperformed. You know, we've expected more from them, but this is an amazing team when you think about it. Where's the weaknesses? I mean, you literally do have all-stars all over the place. The lineup is as deep as anybody's in baseball. Corey Seager's having a magnificent, do we want to call this a season? Magnificent 2 months, whatever it might be. And their pitching staff, I mean, Kershaw, Buehler, Urias, May, Gonsolin, and they don't even have David Price, who opted out. I mean, the bullpen can be a little shaky here, but not trading Gratterol to the Red Sox in the Mookie Betts deal when the Red Sox turned him down because of medical issues they thought he had might end up being a great thing because he might be their closer of the future. This guy throws 110 miles an hour here. There's no weakness here. I would love to see the Padres at full strength, but I think if we're going to be betting that Clevinger and Lamet not only are going to come back but be at full strength, I think that's probably a wishful thinking here for the Padres, but I hope it's a good series. I want it to be a good series. I'm not rooting for the Dodgers. I am rooting for the Padres, and I love these unis they're wearing as well.
So they, you know, they just got in, they won, and their reaction, I think, is noticeable because they are really fired up about winning and you know, getting to the playoffs and winning and succeeding. They seem ultra fired up. And the thing that I have to say about that team is Preller got Machado there, right, and gave him all that money. So last year the guy was there, and he did basically nothing except get paid tons of money to, I guess, stand out in the infield and look pretty with all his money. And I commend him for taking the gig. Who wouldn't want to live in San Diego and make that kind of money with his family? He's loving life. But can you believe that a year later, where they are, I mean, I think Tatis made the difference because Myers and Hosmer were already there and they sucked last year. Now all of a sudden they're a playoff team and they're going to face the Dodgers in the DS.
Well, they were trying to get rid of Myers. All offseason they were trying to get rid of him. There were no takers, right? I think what impressed me more about the Padres, granted, the Machado signing shows you something, but they also called up Tatis when they didn't have to. Maybe they could have kept him down and they would have had the extra year of control and all that garbage we keep seeing throughout baseball. But they called him up. I mean, this team is going to be dangerous for years to come. They will challenge the Dodgers eventually. You make the deal for Clevenger, though, at the deadline this year, which I know with the injury, it may not pay off this year. But that was a good deal for them. They did not give up any of their top prospects in the farm system. Cleveland took a quantity deal rather than a quality deal.
All right, so what did you think of the Cubs getting swept by the Marlins? I was there in 03 and working with the Marlins in Miami when they did all of that and went to Wrigley and won and then beat the Yankees in a World Series. I was at all of those games. It was crazy. And I was saying today there were like ghosts of it out there at Wrigley because they hit a ball over right where Bartman was and they were talking about that. And there were so many things similar to it. It wasn't a sweep when they played them then, but they beat them. And I mean, the Marlins pitching was unbelievable. I thought Sixto Sanchez was throwing 100 mile an hour gas today. And I thought they got that same kind of stuff. Alcantara yesterday was amazing. I mean, they looked phenomenal with those arms and a bunch of no names.
Yeah, they benefit from the short series. Now, Alcantara, he was part of the, I believe the Yelich deal. So he, I'm sorry, the Ozuna deal. He came from St. Louis. He was part of the Ozuna deal. Sanchez was part of the Realmuto deal. So you're finally seeing those guys pay off. Those trades pay off. The Yelich deal was Brinson. That's probably not going to pay off. And they didn't get anything with salary dump for Stanton. But you're finally starting to see that pay off there. Listen, two-game series, Alcantara. I mean, he throws the ball not high 90s. You mentioned Sanchez is throwing triple digits. I believe he threw seven fastballs over 100 miles an hour today. So these guys can throw. These got a five-game series, more probably a seven-game series, they'll be in trouble. Those guys can't go as much. You know, Pablo Lopez is your third starter there. I'm not surprised the Cubs lost. I wasn't all that impressed with them. I thought they'd have a better chance today with Yu Darvish going here, but they didn't score for him. You know, Darvish pitched well, what, a run, two runs in seven innings. You really can't blame him. Got to score some runs here. We've seen this over and over again. So many strikeouts in these playoffs.
Yeah, look, I mean, the bottom line is I was surprised that Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, none of them got a hit. Not one guy could hit the ball. That surprised me. I'm not surprised that the Marlins had those young arms out there throwing 100 miles an hour because they've been doing that all year. But I was surprised that the Cubs couldn't get a hit at home in the series. We'll come back with George. All right, Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. We're talking to George Kurtz of In Game Live on Sports Grid. I always love talking hockey with George and sports, baseball, football, you name it. I'll ask him about hockey in a minute. I still want to get into some of this baseball, though. The series, George, that we care about the most in New York is obviously the Yankees and Rays. And the thing about it is, you know as well as I do, that the Rays, this has been going on for 2 years now, maybe longer, where they've just been kicking the Yankees' ass. And I mean, it's no joke. They beat them 8-10 this year. You can't even deny that they own them. And I couldn't believe, and I know Carver Hyde tried to sell me some rhetoric today about how the national fan base, everyone just hears Yankees and they immediately start betting on them. And that's why they're favored. And I'm like, what? I was like, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? When you get your ass beat, George, every time you play someone, How are you favored over them? I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care who's on your team, what the payroll is. I don't care what color your uniform is. When all you do is lose to one team, how are you favored over them?
Well, we know the way it works. They're, you know, Vegas isn't trying to figure out who's going to win. They want to know. They want to get the money on each side. And the Yankees, like the Cowboys, or like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have a national following. People will bet on them blindly. The Rays are getting plus money. I'm betting on the Rays. You already said it. I mean, the Yankees have been, well, they were dominated by the Rays this year. There's really no other way of putting it. They were 2-8. And you said it all right. Last year, they were lost to the Rays as well. I think the Rays win the series. The Yankees just can't match up with Snell, Glasnow, and Morton. They can't do it. Gerrit Cole, who hasn't pitched well against the Rays this year, he's lost twice. And the one game that the Yankees did win that he pitched, he had to be pulled in the fifth inning. The Yankees are in a lot of trouble. Unless those bats keep coming alive, I think the Yankees are done here.
Well, the bats don't ever come alive against the Rays. I've seen it. You've seen it. You live here. You've watched it. Every time they play them, they can't even get a hit. So it's amazing to me. Now, I thought Cole looked fantastic in that first game in Cleveland. And I thought the second game in Cleveland, in the rain and wind, George, I actually thought that was, along with the Padres comeback last night, those were the two best games in the playoffs, bar none, of any game, anywhere, any series. Maybe that Braves-Reds game that went 13 innings and nobody scored, but I'm not interested in a 0-0 game in a 13th inning. Fair enough, it was really good, but it wasn't better than that crazy Yankee-Indian game in the rain, and it wasn't better than that comeback last night by the Padres. Would you agree with that?
I think most of us would. It was a fun. I mean, it was far from a perfect game, the Indians and Yankees, but that was a fun game. I mean, so many lead changes, runs were being scored all over the place, home runs, drives into the gap here, errors. And you had everything you could want there. Questionable managerial moves in that game. So yes, I don't mind a pitcher's duel. I'm a baseball fan. I don't mind. But when it comes to that Reds Braves game, was that a pitcher's duel or Cincinnati just they couldn't get a clutch hit to save their lives?
Do you think that the Yankees would want a guy like that Trevor Bauer? Or could they, I mean, honestly, they can afford anybody. But when they're paying Cole that much money, would they? Because, you know, he's going to make a lot of money. I don't even think Cincinnati can pay him the money that he's going to be afforded because his stuff is filthy. But he's really fair enough. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's a strange dude, but he really is. Like, he's. I think, you know, it's funny because he's allegedly this genius or whatever, and he's smarter than everybody, and he's, you know, Mr. Physics and all this other stuff. He does all the arm angles and velocity and all this stuff. But I don't care about any of that. All I know is that he's – people don't like him. His teammates, I don't even think, like him. I don't even think baseball likes him. I think he's like a loner. And – but when he's on the mound, that's what he gets paid to do. He's great. Do you think they'd want a guy like that on their team?
Well, they're going to have to look into it. They have about $100 million coming off the books this year. So if they want to go out and get him, they can go out and get him. Now, when I say they have $100 million, part of that's DJ LeMahieu. They're going to re-sign him. I'm sure he'll take a fifth of that, maybe a quarter of it, $20, $25 million, whatever he's going to command per year. Plus, they have arbitration guys who have to pay those guys. So they need another pitcher, right? Severino will be back, but it's not going to be in April, assuming we play in April, May, June maybe. You're going to re-sign Tanaka to some kind of short deal? What about Happ? I assume Hayes gone. So after that, Montgomery, we've seen he's a fifth starter at best. So if you don't sign somebody, are you just going to go with Garcia, Schmidt, King? I mean, all these youngsters, they've got to sign at least one veteran guy. If they decide to bring back Tanaka, they might have to sign another veteran guy. I think they'll kick the tires on Bauer, but in the end, I think they'll find his price tag pretty high, and I think they'll think the same thing as you. How will his act play in the big city where this media will be living? I mean, they will be living to go into that clubhouse and hear what he has to say every game. I mean, they will be dying to hear it.
they would because he's nuts, right? I have to admit, like, I don't know if you saw what he did to Acuna today, but Acuna said go home. And so he Did you see what he did in return? He showed a video of him striking him out a bunch of times. Yes, yeah. And then he played like a song, "I'm Coming Home." And he showed like brain waves. Did you see the video of the brain waves of like getting inside his head?
That's what's great about him. He's fun. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind, but that's going to be the problem in New York. He does that in New York. I mean, it'll be all over the back pages. All over the back pages. So I think he's good for the game. I like him because he gives us material to talk about and write about. So it's fun. But, you know, he's played in smaller markets. Cleveland, you know, you'll get away with that there. Cincinnati, same thing. You go to New York, you go to the big Boston, it'll be top news whenever he decides to pull this stuff. I think it's fun. But I think the Yankees and Cashman are going to have some trepidation when you also got to throw, you know, $30 million a year on top of this.
Do you think the Red Sox, they'd be smart to go get him? He'd be a problem for the Yankees.
Well, you know, remember, he has said for a while he will only sign one-year deals. Now, he's come off that a little bit, I think now because he's getting older where he wants a multi-year deal. The Red Sox aren't ready to compete next year. You know, they're probably still 2-3 years away. Do they want to pay? If he wants to sign a multi-year deal, you're probably talking minimum 140, 150 over 5 years, maybe more if he wants a 7-year deal. So I don't know if the Red Sox should do that for somebody that they're really, you know, like I said, they're 2 years away minimum. So I don't know if the Red Sox will commit right now.
So, George, what do you think of the weekend in the NFL? Is anything standing out to you, like the Pats, Chiefs, the Bills, Raiders, to see if Buffalo can actually keep going undefeated on the road in Sin City? I don't really care about the Falcons Packers Monday night because the Falcons make me sick to my stomach. But is there anything that stands out to you? Is it the Bucks at home looking to win three straight? What is it that you're the Giants going to play the Rams are probably dead meat, I would think. What stands out to you about Sunday?
Well, the first game I like is I know it's a big spread, minus 14, but I think Baltimore, after they were embarrassed at home by the Chiefs on Monday night, they're going to go to Washington, which is not a big, not a big trip for them at all, and they're going to destroy this team. I think this could be something like 38-10. McLaurin may not play for Washington. I'm going to bet it straight up anyway, but this will be a part of a couple of teasers as well for me. So I'm going to have Baltimore big time in this game. As far as some upsets I like here, I'm looking at Detroit at home against New Orleans. I know Detroit drives us all crazy.
All right, I'm losing George, Moff. So like, get him to call back or something. It's torture. I can't deal with that. It's like I feel like I'm in a dentist chair getting my teeth drilled. So anyway, the Lakers have opened up a can, at the very least, on the Heat here in this game two. Same thing again as the other night. I guess it's not as bad as it was. Like at one point, they were up to about 18 or something. It's 92-79 now, so it's not the end of the world. So it's about right where they were. George, I lost you there for a minute. So, you were talking about Patricia and the Lions and they drive you nuts or whatever. And now they're playing the Saints, who I think look real average without Thomas.
Yeah, no Thomas, no Jared Cook even this week. And they're missing several players on defense as well. Detroit's at home getting points here. I'm going to go with Detroit in this game. It won't be a large bet here, but I'm going to go with Detroit. Another underdog that I like to cover but not win the game would be the Chargers. Buccaneers are all beat up as well. No Godwin. Miller is iffy to play. No Leonard Fournette. It's just Mike Evans. And we've seen Mike Evans hasn't been Mike Evans all season. He's been okay. He caught, two balls last week for 2 yards for 2 touchdowns. What a weird stat line. So I kind of like the Chargers and that defense to cover. They won't win the game, but I think they'll cover. I'll take the 7 points there.
So is there anything in college football that you like tomorrow? There's a lot of great SEC games. It's really starting to roll out now.
There's nothing that's caught my eye yet. I mean, I will take a look at the board in the early morning here. Tomorrow's a weird day because for me, there's no baseball. There's no NFL yet. Hockey's done. So I've actually thought about maybe it should be a family day for me. It won't be, mind you, but I've given that some thought.
Yeah, that's not good enough for me, George. The family day is a horrible plan. There are so many good games tomorrow in college football. What you're telling me is you don't like college football. Is that what you're telling me?
I haven't been a big college football fan probably since – I mean, I was an SMU guy in the 80s. They got the death penalty. Then I started following it again in the 90s when Jimmy Johnson was with the Cowboys in Miami. And then I decided, you know what, I'm not going to have a long marriage if I'm going to do football all weekend, Saturdays, college, pro on Sunday. So I pretty much just stuck to pro football on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays.
That's unfortunate, George. Very unfortunate. So Tampa got it done. You and I talked a million times during the hockey playoffs and during the season. And I just was on that team for months on end. From the night I saw him play in Vegas and lose to Vegas 7-4, I said, that team's going to win the Stanley Cup. I thought they played better than Vegas the night they lost 7-4. The way they skate, the way they pass, the way they forecheck, play both ends, their goalie, their stars, their speed. And eventually they got it done. What did you think of their performance?
You think about it. They didn't even have Stamkos. They had Stamkos for a period in the playoffs. One period. And they win the cup. Stamkos, top 10 player in the NHL, top 15 if you want to penalize them a little bit. Yet they win without him. I mean, this is they deserve to win here. I don't think anybody truly gave them all that much competition. The Islanders sort of gave them a little ride there. But they were never really threatened here. So good for Tampa to get over that bugaboo of last year. You lose game one to Columbus again. We're like, oh, here we go again. They can't beat this team. They're going to choke again. They came, all that went away. All their stars played like stars. Braden Point sort of announced himself as maybe the next star. Hedman had a great series. Vasilevsky was fantastic. This team, top to bottom, is the best team in the NHL. It might change next season because they have a lot of salary cap problems. They're going to have to make some tough decisions here on who has to trade here. But Tampa was the best team.
Yeah, I thought the Rangers got away with murder with the way it ended for King Lundqvist, kind of real quiet, real in the middle of like a cycle with no news. They're just like, oh, by the way, they're buying out Henrik Lundqvist. That guy was incredible for the Rangers for a long time, had a brilliant career in New York, lost in the finals to the Kings, Alec Martinez. But I think King Lundqvist deserves way more credit than the way they handled it and just said, we're going to buy out his contract. See you later. I thought that was cheesy. George, have a great weekend. Always a pleasure having you on the bench. Thanks a lot, brother. I'll talk to you soon. All right, coming up next hour, we're going to talk to John DeSilva about the Preakness, which is actually tomorrow. Mafia, you have to admit, I mean, because I love John and everything, but you just have to admit, is there anything that you have seen worse than the fact that tomorrow is one of the Triple Crown races? And I mean, there has not been one word mentioned of that race on any level, anywhere I've seen at all, on any media, any social media, any TV, radio, nothing. Like, they might as well cancel that thing. That's how bad it is. Like, the Preakness is tomorrow. Is there a person on the face of the earth that cares? I mean, honestly.
Dude, if there's, you want to talk about the sport that's been most hit by, you know, getting pushed back and changed because of COVID, it's got to be horse racing because people barely care about it as it is. I mean, the Preakness automatically kind of goes by the wayside when you're talking about the Triple Crown even. You know, right in the middle there, really people care about the Kentucky Derby and then and the Belmont Stakes because that's the one where they could win the Triple Crown. The Preakness always has kind of been like the little brother that no one really cares about for the most part. Anyway, it's the one where all the drunks, you know, the Kentucky Derby is all the upper class and the hats and the mint juleps and even the Belmonts, you know, kind of nicer. It's a, you know, day at the races. Preakness is the drunks running on toilets. So that's right. Always the one that's kind of been the lower echelon of it as it is. I didn't even know what was happening until John texted me yesterday saying, hey, you guys talking about the race this weekend? I'm like, oh, there's a race this weekend?
The porta potty run.
Yeah.
I mean, it is bad. Like, I don't care one lick. And no offense to John, because that would really ruin his day if we started talking bad about it. He'd freak out. But I have to tell you, like, it is absolutely off my grid completely. I have no idea. I don't even. The Preakness is tomorrow. Like, are you kidding? Like, you know what? George will probably watch the Preakness because he's not watching college football. George is running errands for his wife. And I'm going to be watching college football all day and gambling heavily.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Say big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a three-panel LED light bulb. Now just $199. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $399. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $299. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big money at Menards.